Welcome back, Interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. This is a Hollywood movie, though, shot in Prague, and it is especially bad. I am here this week with Brian Mueller.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
I knew it. That was what I wanted you to do. Cody Wolf.
I've got nothing.
That was as soon as I heard that line, I'm like, oh, that is the catchphrase from this movie. And Jack Estabrook.
Yeah, I got nothing either.
Okay. Yeah,
that was the one.
It was the one. Right when he did it, I was like, Burns, you've done it again.
It was no rocket, but no.
And when we say Burns, we are talking about Ed Burns, who has made a return.
Who I didn't know was in the movie until I started watching the movie.
In the first scene, I texted Alex, and I said, oh my God, this movie is awesome, implying it was awesomely bad. And he said, yeah, gotta love Ed Burns. And I was still on the first scene where he was in the helmet, and I said, I thought that's where I recognized that guy.
Well, there is another guy on that hunt that carries special significance to.
Was there?
Oh, there is? Mm. Oh, I'll have to.
We can bring it up now.
The movie is 2005 Sound of Thunder, starring Stop the Movie favorite Ed Burns, star of One Missed Call and.
Black Christmas, right? Or was it Black Christmas?
No. One Missed Call and Alex Cross.
Alex Cross.
Yeah. How could we forget him?
Alex Cross.
Wait, is he in Black Christmas?
Was he in Black
Christmas? I believe he is.
Is he the cop? Maybe you're right.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Okay. I think so.
Yeah. Ed Burns bringing that same zero energy performance to everything that he does.
Yep.
And is that also the return of our favorite homosexual attorney, Yardley?
That's right. That was Yardley. He's right.
From the Paperboy.
Yardley has made his triumphant return to us at last.
I thought he was familiar.
No, he's right. Yeah, it is
and
Yardley.
His part is, really, we're in a movie where all the characters are poorly defined. That character is, he must be furious about the cut.
Because that guy's actually a good actor.
I bet he is.
You gotta start somewhere. Yeah. Was he a name yet at that point? Was he making like?
I don't even know if he's a name.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's a name.
he has a little respect now. He's getting good roles.
Yeah, he was in the Paperboy.
I don't think anybody except for Ben Kingsley and Ed Burns were names although this movie did have a big budget, which we'll get into.
Well, it doesn't look like it.
It had a big budget.
And of course, Ben Kingsley's in this movie. I want to say right now, this is a science fiction film with lots of special effects. It's very special effects heavy. These special effects look like.
They look like mid-90s.
It looks like that show I used to watch when I was a kid. Reboot, I think it was called.
Yes.
Where it was that kind of effect. Like, I laugh so freaking hard when they walk out onto the street.
The crosswalk shot.
Oh, yeah.
You could see the
worst
bat line.
CGI.
Oh.
It's not even CGI.
It's not even really full CGI.
It's between, CGI and...
It's like Food Fight with actors in front of it.
It's like they took a shot of, Sim City and blew it up on a wall.
And this is, 2003 they made this.
Yeah, well, it came out in 2005.
Right, yeah.
It's even, and the effects look like this would have been shaky in 1995.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I thought this was a Sci-Fi Channel original, a dead serious. I'm more likely to forgive the Sci-Fi Channel movies because they're kind of made that way on purpose. An Asylum movie or a Sci-Fi Channel movie, they generally have that low-end CG look. They often involve dinosaurs or other giant monsters. So I was totally thinking, this is a sci-fi original movie. How they got Ben Kingsley, I don't know, but this has got to be. And Alex was like, no, it wasn't. And I was like, oh, God.
My first note actually is, are you kidding me, special effects? Like, really?
It's like, literally, it's like this jungle, and there's like the sound effect, and a hole appears. Like video toaster style, this hole just appears, and these guys wearing plastic Battlestar Galactica reject suit costumes walk out on an invisible carpet that they call the pad. And it's all shot in one boring medium shot. And then there's the CG dinosaur, which every time you see it, it's the exact same animation of the dinosaur.
So what we basically see is a team of guys who are come out of a time portal onto a clear carpet, they wait for a dinosaur, then shoot the dinosaur as it falls into a tar pit. Yes. And then they walk back into their time portal, and we realize this is a company called Time Safari that takes tourists to where they can go shoot a dinosaur for a ton of money.
Shoot them with ice bullets.
Shooting with ice bullets, yes. And Ed Burns is like the The leader, who's also a doctor. Yeah, who's also a scientist, and who also seems to be an unwilling participant at times in this business venture, but is running it, essentially.
What I got was that he did it so he could, like, study things.
He was trying to, yeah.
But he does this to, like, keep his job.
He was trying to clone a dinosaur, and every time they went back, he would get, like, a little bit more of the information you needed from it, like the DNA or whatever.
And that's a good point, because Cody make a great point, because that comes back later in the movie, right?
Yeah, when he clones that dinosaur to fight the other. Oh, no.
Yeah, nope, never comes back. No, never. Right. His whole, Ed Burns' character's whole motivation for being there never comes back into the film.
Nope. They do say that like all the animals are dead now and it's just humans.
Yeah.
So he has this, I think, desire just to be in wilderness, because the whole world is like cities, I guess, and he wants to be in wilderness. But this is such a ridiculous concept, because they go through all this. Well, we'll get to it. Time travel logic here makes no sense.
Well, we'll see. Just a couple things set up. It's based on the great Ray Bradbury story, A Sound of Thunder, which is a short story.
Yeah, very short.
About the kind of complexities of doing like this kind of time safari, and somebody alters something in the past, and you then have to keep going back trying to correct it.
But that's not even the story. The story is they get back to the future. It's basically the scene later on where they step on the butterfly whenever.
Yeah.
That scene is the story, and they come back and everything's changed.
And everything's changed.
And that's you know, the story is they've effed up the future.
Right. They basically screwed up the future.
Right. Yeah. And this takes us a ridiculous length by like, no, the future's changing slowly and we have to go back.
There's like waves of future that are coming and hitting
we have to stop ourselves from changing the past, and it's like, oh, come
on. The best adaptation of this story is definitely in the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode where Homer has the toaster that every time the toaster sends him back, and like he accidentally ends up impacting the past and like making all these changes, and you know, but great short story. Goofy movie. So they come back, and Ben Kingsley is like the CEO of this time safari company.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a question, because Ben Kingsley says to the tourist, he's like, "Welcome back, gentlemen. You killed the dinosaur. You saw Columbus discover the new world," and stuff things. And I'm like, do you think the tourist got to see Columbus?
No, I don't think he said. I think he was saying,
I think he was equating it.
You are like Columbus. Yes. Okay. You are like, because you've gone back in time.
Oh,
you're
like
a pioneer in time travel.
I was about to say, because they don't really go to any other time periods except for one scene where they're like in the Old West.
Yeah.
Which, again, in the story, I think it was, you could go back to any time period and kill an animal. Like, you could hunt it. That was the whole draw, is you could hunt any animal.
Yeah, why did they only show the dinosaur one?
This one, you could only go back to the specific time and kill this specific dinosaur. Money?
Because, now here's something really interesting. Now, this movie goes out of its way to explain something, and then they completely violate the rule. And that is, of course, we've been talking about it, is the butterfly theory. Don't kill things in the past or else you could significantly change the future. It seems insignificant, but over the course of millions of years, the minute effect of that butterfly could have drastic results. Well, then why the hell are you killing a dinosaur? But their argument is, well, this dinosaur was going to fall into a tar pit anyway, so this dinosaur, we can shoot it. We use ice bullets so we don't leave bullet fragments, and we shoot the dinosaur, and it falls into the tar pit, and yay, these billionaire industrialists have their adventure killing the dinosaur. Now, they killed this dinosaur, this Spinosaurus or whatever it is, right, in the past.
Right.
Oh, then I thought it was just a Tyrannosaurus.
No, the story is a T-Rex, and this it's like some, I can't remember what.
They actually say what it is to be like, we're being different, because it's not a T-Rex.
Oh, God, I didn't even notice this. Okay.
They go back in time again with two different people and kill the same dinosaur.
Right.
Now, are they supposed to be killing the same dinosaur?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, how the hell, you're talking about time travel, right? So a group of 10 guys goes back in time and kills dinosaur A. Then that same group goes back in time and kills the same dinosaur. Now, are there going to be like infinite groups of people
in
the time loop?
In the story, they did say something about that, like time doesn't let paradoxes happen. So it like,
then why the time ribbon thing?
But to defend, because I agree with Cody in this, in a much better short story, they do say that. Yeah. However, Jack is correct, because in this movie,
they do establish that
two Ed Burns can be back in the prehistoric time
at the end of the movie.
When I reread the story last night, I was saying that, because they mentioned that, like, because the guy goes back to find the dinosaur and track it and figure out where it's going to be so they can do this. And the guy asks, like, oh, won't we see you then? He's like, no, because time won't let two people be in the same place at once. Or one person being, you know, like the Ed Burns at this in this movie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, they totally violated that in the movie by having him.
But they also, Jack's also, they're violating the basic principle of if two Ed Burnses can be there, which the movie does posit is okay, like the Marty McFly theory.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it also, how are they then killing the same dinosaur? Like, right, if there could be two Ed Burns, sense. They shouldn't be able
yeah,
to
kill
the same.
Yeah, there should be like 25 dinosaurs.
They should have preset yeah. like 40 some odd dinosaurs.
Well, my other question too is this whole thing, like, they're like, oh, we have to get out of here. We only have like 5 minutes, whatever, to do this because this volcano is going to erupt.
Right. By coincidence, this is the best chance.
Isn't that going to kill everything anyways? Like, what's it matter then?
I think you're right. Wouldn't that kill that dinosaur?
I think they sort of posit that the dinosaur was definitely between the tar pit and the volcano. The dinosaur was going to die, right. But that there's sort of other variables.
The butterfly
could have survived it somehow.
I would agree. Yeah, I can't imagine. That's a stretch, I can't imagine though. That butterfly was going to survive a volcano
eruption.
Right, because
the eruption seemed pretty extreme.
Yeah, and if we know one thing from Pompeii, it's that you cannot right. survive a volcano.
Absolutely not.
So they come back and they set up. It's not an interesting idea, but there's like they're this company, Time Safari, and there's a government inspector who also works in their office who's like that. This is Time Safari is regulated by the government. They have this fancy computer called the Time Alteration Mainframe Interface, which is named Tammy and has a sexy voice. And in the beginning of the movie and the very end of the movie seems to be somewhat sentient, but is
kinda
not
like the computer
sentient.
In Supernova.
Yes, but not sentient for essentially the middle hour of the movie.
Right.
Just like in Supernova.
Just like in Supernova, yeah. And then, okay, so a woman busts in. So they're having this like nice party
like
with the clients. Yeah, she's like a protester. She's coming in spraying fake blood, being like, you're all killing the future, the past, and, you know, you're terrible people.
Irresponsible. And then we learn in one scene?
Well, that she invented this.
Yep.
Yeah. She has. Well, so then they hustle her out of this party, this like wacky protester lady. But there's one of my favorite moments in the movie is like Ed Burns' character has a look on his face like, hey, you know what? I never thought of this before. What if she's right? Like, and it's just this look and you're like, dude, how have you never thought of this before? Like, how is this a wake up call for you that like going into the past of these tightly controlled conditions isn't incredibly dangerous right. to everything we're doing? And then Ed Burns is like running after her. And for some reason, this lady who went to great lengths to break into their facility and show this whole protest has no interest in talking to Ed Burns. She's just like, oh, I'm done. I already broke in.
As they cross a horrible CGI street.
Oh, yeah. And the CGI is like atrocious. And that's where we get into this thing where Jack was talking about, like, blah, 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 there's no animals. He's collecting remote DNA, allegedly.
And then he has sex with some chick.
Yeah, what was that?
Yeah,
That woman didn't come back.
Yeah, that was bizarre. No.
That never...
And he comes home and the sexy woman's waiting for him, and then he kind of shrugs, and the next scene he walks out of his bedroom and she's in there, and they're, like, draped in sheets.
Yeah. Hmm. And I was like, why is that? I kept waiting for that to come back too, or that character to come back, right. and it had nothing to do with anything. No. Like that scene didn't even need to be in the movie.
No. May as well just had a woman doing naked yoga in his living room after he woke up.
That's right.
The only thing I think was they were going to, because then they kind of used that to set up the conversation he had with that girl on his team who like he was supposed to look out as and like thought of as kind of like a little sister, but you could tell she was kind of like. Into him, so
yeah.
That didn't I go thought anywhere maybe,
either. And that didn't go anywhere either.
Right.
Yeah,
basically, it was one thing that led to nothing that might have set up another thing, which also led to nothing.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah.
And then we get this scenario where we see something drip at the Time Safari headquarters. We just get a shot where we, as the audience, see something drip onto Ed Burns' uniform/gun, and then. We just cut away from it.
Which is just like laying out.
Which is just sitting out there.
Yardley's really not paying attention to the equipment.
He's too busy getting drunk with Ward.
Yeah.
He's too busy trying to get it on with other guys.
He's got too much going on. And here's one of my other favorite things, because we now meet the next batch of clients. And there's the great line in screenwriting, which is show, don't tell. But we're going to meet these next clients. One of them is a businessman who's just focused on work, and the other is a Family Guy. How do we know? Because that's how they say, I'm a businessman, and you're totally focused on your family. We're both bored out of our minds.
We're both rich and bored.
This is dialogue in the movie. Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
how are we going to establish that? The audience is going to get confused.
The least naturalistic dialogue ever. So they bring in these clients, and they're like, you know, they get this whole speech of like, yeah, don't, you know, basically these clients get this quick primer of, even though one of these new clients is totally freaked out and the other is a serious D-bag. And that's not a warning sign for everyone on the team, but they're like, yeah, just remember, don't change anything. That's really it. That's
as
all
we
you
go
need
back
to, know.
To kill a dinosaur.
Yeah, we're going
to
kill a dinosaur, but don't change anything. They walk out of the portal, and the super nervous client tries to shoot a butterfly. And none of, like, Ed Burns or any of those people are like, whoa, 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 dude, do you not remember the one thing we told you?
Not only that, well, why would he want to kill the butterfly? Is he threatened by
it? I think he was scared and wasn't sure what it was because it was kind of behind a plant.
Yeah, he was just, like, really jumpy.
Yeah. So then they get down to the same spot, and we're seeing the same dinosaur. Again, this makes no sense.
This is like the third time we've seen this scene, and like,
and it's the same animation.
Like the first 10, 15 minutes
it's
of the movie.
It's this exciting scene with the exact same animation.
That's my question with this is, I know, judging by the special effects, I think it's fair to say this movie didn't have a huge budget. But if you have a time travel movie and you can go to any part of the past millions of years, couldn't you just throw in like one other scene of like a different creature, a different setting, just to spice it up a little bit?
Why is this time safari has only worked out this one spot? Like, they have nothing else.
I know, it's kind of lame.
Just like show people some other experience. You like, yeah,
maybe go to like the 1800s and just raid a wardrobe somewhere on a back lot with like period clothing that could save the money and give
them
some of the
experience. Let them look at something else.
That would have been a much more fascinating movie. A company that claims time travel, but really it's all a ruse.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. You're going to.
I would see that.
Like, why couldn't Time Safari just say, "Hey, we're going to take you back to ancient Egypt, and you're going to get to look from a distance at pyramids being built."
Yeah, I would rather see that.
Interact with anybody, but you're going to get to see this historic thing, you know, and so that we're not just spending 5 minutes looking at it.
Well, that's the thing, because I to spend ten, or I don't know how much it was in the movie, in the story, they spend like $10,000 to go back in time, to kill one dinosaur and then go.
I know.
Like, was that the plot in the short story too? They killed a dinosaur.
Yeah, it was basically this scene with this jumpy guy.
He
where he steps off the path, he kills a butterfly, and they go back, and everything's changed. That's the end of the story.
You mean there's no gigantic
here? That's just the beginning of the story.
It's just and things get even better.
You mean Ray Bradbury didn't invent a scene where a guy uses fertilizer to gain access?
No, not in this one.
So then the dinosaur's coming through the woods again, and Ed Burns' gun doesn't work. Which, by the way, great job, Ed Burns, not checking your equipment before you went back to prehistoric.
That's
times.
Yardley's job.
I love how he explains the safety mechanism seconds before it fails.
Yeah.
So the audience knows. So you get, why isn't my gun working? Because the guns are linked. None of the guns work until Ed Burns fires first. So he's the one who says it's okay to shoot. So then he goes, click, 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 click. My gun isn't working. The safety feature's off. Then he pulls the Jurassic Park where he tries to distract the dinosaur with the flashlight.
Yeah. Oh, dinosaurs he should have used.
I was going to say, he should have used a cake.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Look at this cake. Hey, Yardley, hand me that cake.
I'm sorry, Yardley. I didn't mean to.
So while Ed Burns and Yardley are like fixing his gun, everyone's like shining flashlights at this dinosaur and running around.
Look over here. Look over here.
And then they do fix Ed Burns' gun and they all shoot the dinosaur. And
I like how the guy, that when it's not working, the one girl says to Yardley, she's like, can you fix it? He's like, yeah, but it'll take a long time. I couldn't even try to fix it here. And then like 2 minutes later, it's fixed.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yep.
And then they all walk back down the path that they made.
Yeah, they
to
call.
Their time. And we see that there's a footprint on the path clearly letting us, as the audience, know somebody stepped off the path and stepped in the mud.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was like a little conversation with the team where they're like, did anyone break any protocols? Then we're clean. I'm like, what? Like, nothing. This is
people
not,
almost died.
Yeah. Like,
yep. And two of the clients, no one seemed too concerned. The two of the clients ran down the path and no one saw them for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, they were just like, all right, we're good. Yeah, I think we're good here. Yep. They come back to the present. And this is crucial. And this is a crucial departure from the Ray Bradbury story. Clearly, somebody stepped off the path and changed something. But the present, everything is the same as
right.
it was.
Yeah.
Nothing's weird.
Right. Not yet.
Okay. This is the worst time travel movie logic ever. Because if they did change something 2 million years ago, it would... When the world they came back to would be different.
Right.
You know, yeah. that's the...
Yeah.
But not in this movie, which was never... I never ceased to get angered by that thought.
Well,
that
especially at the end when he goes back and rechanges it, it all goes back instantly.
It all goes back instantly. Yeah. It all goes
It's
back,
not like they need 4 days worth of time waves to...
This is the most convenient, like, lazy time travel movie logic.
If you really want to break your brain here, there's two ways this could go. I think this movie is subscribing to the Back to the Future theory that if you change something in the past, an alternate timeline is created and you're stuck in that alternate timeline. Right? And you have to go back to when the moment the timeline is created, when the butterfly gets stepped on to reset it.
Yes.
However, there's another theory that would say that wouldn't you go back in time, you step on the butterfly, you change history so humans don't exist, but then the humans never go back in time, never step on the butterfly, therefore it progresses, the humans evolve, then the humans go back in time and kill the dinosaur and step on the butterfly, and it just keeps going in one endless loop.
I guess.
Wouldn't it eventually write itself?
Well, maybe. Well, I see what you're saying, but I mean, my whole thing is like, why would the changes they made 2 million years ago be like?
They
you
take
know what?
Time.
We've been sitting around for 2 million years. Now it's time for those changes to catch up with the world.
It's not even 2 million. It's like 64 million years.
64. Yeah. Yeah.
And, it's like, why would that just be happening now?
The majority of the changes at first were just trees. Why are these trees growing up all over the place? And everyone is in the know that things are changing.
Right.
Except like, Ed Burns. Are things changing in like all time periods? Like if you went back to like the 1700s, would like George Washington be slowly changing into a fish creature?
A fish
or?
Monster? I don't know. Like this is what this makes
you go back to you go to the Smithsonian and like all the people are just fish people.
This makes no sense. Like there's
Washington swimming the Delaware.
So even though all these weird things are going on, Time Safari's like, hey, gotta pay the bills. We're doing another trip. But now Ed Burns is all surly. He's like, now I'm nervous about this clearly dangerous thing we've been doing that this whole company I work for is founded upon. This reminded me of like Nicolas Cage in Season of the Witch when he's that moment where he's like, hey, we've been murdering hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Not cool. Not cool. My job is not cool. Come on, Ron Perlman. Like, so they're doing another trip, and Ed Burns literally is like, whatever, let's do this. And just goes back with two more clients. They show up, and when they show up, the dinosaur is already dead, and the volcano is about to erupt, and they have to, like, run back into the portal. Because the time travel computer missed their window by like 5 minutes or something. So like misplaced them.
Yeah.
Why did that happen?
I don't know. I was trying to figure that out too. Because then the computer said, no, my calculations were correct.
Right.
And I was thinking like, oh, it must, I guess it's one of those like you change something in the past. But it was 5 minutes.
Right, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It's not like a butterfly. Yeah, okay, if you want to go with the logic, a butterfly dying hundreds of millions of years ago, you know, it changes everything in the present, fine. But a butterfly dying isn't going to change the past in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's an immediate change, yeah.
I didn't understand this moment of, like, that the computer was off. And the movie seems to lose interest in it instantly, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because the whole storyline of the sentient computer also seems to leave the film at this point. Mm-hmm. That's still a mystery to me. Yeah. And then
the program gets shut down.
The government guy says, in a not awkward at all line, says, "On behalf of the Temporal Regulation Division, I proclaim this business closed." At which point I'm like, you've also said this is the only business that the government oversees. Not like this business. I'm closing the business. Like, right. You are the only one who does this. And
so then Edward Burns goes and pays a visit to
doctor. Well, and do we get the car crash sequence before he goes to talk to the doctor?
Yeah, it's right before, on his way over there.
Yeah.
It's a pretty simple concept what they want to show. Ed Burns is in the back of a cab. The cab in front of Ed Burns, not even his cab, falls into a hole that opens in the ground. A sinkhole.
Yep.
The shot sequence they get out of this is mind-boggling. It is like somebody said, we need to use all the shots, but none of them, there's no sequencing to it. You're suddenly inside the cab, you're outside the cab. There's no scene geometry. Like, it just looks like you're seeing a collection of raw footage that someone forgot to actually tailor into a car crash.
Yeah.
I got a big kick out of that.
And the cabbie did a terrible job of driving. Like, in the scene right before the taxi went into the sinkhole, it looked like they were going like 15 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And the cabbie takes like forever to brake after that. It's like, my God.
Because Ed Burns' car isn't even the one that crashes.
Right.
All that happens with Ed Burns' car is he's like, oh, we got to pull over quick. Like, that's it.
He like crashes into a cafe and runs into tables and everything.
Yeah. So Ed Burns goes to the woman who is a protester. I don't even remember her name.
Slash the person that invented the whole thing.
Yeah,
including the voice of the
computer.
She's also the voice of Tammy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what can we call her for the rest of the movie? The female scientist? I guess.
What was her name again?
I don't remember it.
It started with an R, right?
I can't remember.
I watched
it 5 hours ago and I don't remember.
So Ed Burns goes up to her apartment where she's pointing, because her neighbors are all like, help us, the time thing is hurting. And she's like waving a gun out of the window of her door, she's like, get away from me.
Sonia Rand,
that's right, Sonia. So Ed Burns
has this creative idea.
So Ed Burns is like, well, she clearly doesn't want to talk to anyone. How am I going to get in? So he goes downstairs, and a delivery man shows up. Like again, this is.
Well, he just asks him, too, like, where's this going?
Where's he going? Oh, this is going to Sonia Rand. He'll be like, I'll take it.
Like, the guy would be like, okay.
Didn't he also, he not only got the fertilizer, he got the guy to give him his hat.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because that's like a constant crutch that movies use. Like, they always, like, the guy will always, like, get the delivery man or some type of worker to, like, give them their product so they can deliver themselves.
It's a social commentary. The upper class are taking advantage of the lower class workers who...
I would just love to try that in real life sometime. Like, go up to a pizza guy as he stops at a house. He's like, I'll take which apartment? 5E. I'll just take it. I'm in the neighborhood, you know.
I'll take it up.
I'm going there anyway, so... Yeah.
Can I buy your hat?
Yeah. Can I?
Do you have any ID or anything? Nope. I'll take it up, though.
Can I get your jacket, too, maybe? Just to kind of look the part?
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
And so we get Ed Burns goes up to her door. The fertilizer. It was the best.
Oh, I was expecting the fertilizer delivery man about now. That adds up.
And then she's like, hold on. Lady, it's real heavy. What world have we delved into?
Yeah, this movie took a real turn at this point.
Put it by the perennials, like the white ones.
When he walks into, he's just got like slung over his shoulders. Now he's like holding it, his arms are down by his sides, just like hanging on his shoulder, like he's looking all cool, carrying his fertilizer across the apartment.
And she doesn't seem surprised to see him at all. She's not like, hey, get out of here. She's like,
she's like, oh, I was wondering how long it would take for you to find me.
Yeah, well, you did get in.
I wasn't expecting the fertilizer delivery man disguise, but
it was a clever ruse.
I respect your fertilizer delivery man ruse.
What if she was like, oh, you also work as a fertilizer delivery man? Yeah.
What a weird coincidence. And she explains the theory of that time waves are hitting our world and changes are being made in these time waves that arrive incrementally. Well,
and she knows like what each time wave is going to bring too somehow. Like this has never happened ever in the history of the world.
That was my thing. How would she know this?
She knows the first one will bring vegetation, the second one will bring organisms, eventually like the fifth one will be when we change. It's like how do you know that?
Because this happened before, right? Tell me, yeah, let me see the case study on the now, other what? Time
and
waves.
Why are there still like buildings and stuff? Like those would go away because those clearly, if we turn into fish people, that we wouldn't have built apartment buildings
and
laboratories.
Things like electricity and cell phones continue to work no matter how many time waves hit society.
And again, everyone remembers every time there's a time shift.
Yes.
They're aware of what happened before and that things have changed.
Yes. And then all of a sudden, a ton of bugs start filling her hallway and apartment.
Yeah.
And Ed Burns has Sonya stand on the bag of fertilizer that he just delivered.
What protection?
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, I rewound that. I'm like, what is she standing on? Is she staying on some sort of protective? Like, I was trying to figure out
how did
what
that benefit? Yeah.
Helped by her standing on a bag of fertilizer, what puts her maybe, 10 centimeters off the ground she was already standing on?
Right. And the bugs are in the ceiling.
And a fertilizer bag that, sinks when you stand on it.
Yeah.
It's not like you're standing on a pedestal and it's gonna hold.
The bugs can't get
or it's like there's something in the fertilizer that bugs be like, oh, we're bugs. Right. We don't want to be near dirt. Not dirt.
It's our one weakness.
That's like a bunch of bears chase you and you're like, here, put this honey on.
Yeah. Stand on that honey.
The bears couldn't possibly claw their way through that thick gooey stuff.
Oh, God.
And then Ed Burns just grabs a hose and starts spraying bugs. That was just water,
Is
right?
Is it the same hose that she used to spray with blood earlier, the fake blood?
Who knows? So then Ed Burns comes up with an idea. He's like, hey, all right, let's just jump out this window.
Which, every time we say time wave, I always want to say, this is the time wave.
Yeah.
They just had a time wave before, right?
Yeah, right before the bugs.
But when he jumps out the window, they fall into the tree, and then one of them is like, oh, this is new. This wasn't here before.
Exactly.
So they jumped out the window from 20 stories up, not knowing that tree was there.
Yeah, just thinking they were going to fall to their death.
This is a fortunate turn of events.
Yeah, wow. Glad the time
good thing
wave
that,
brought
good thing
a tree.
That time wave came along right before we jumped out the window.
Well, it was precisely calculated by Sonya. She knew exactly when the tree was.
Apparently she knew that tree was going to be there.
Yeah. So then Sonya...
Why? More thing. Yeah. Just one more quick thing. Yeah. Why were there bugs,
just there and nowhere else? I don't know.
Yeah, why aren't they,
know.
Outside the window or
at first I thought,
people?
Is this going to be, a movie about the, plague?
Yeah.
And,
I just
didn't
say that.
Biblical...
Yeah.
Because when they're now...
Film's not that creative.
When they're now in the tree, Ed Burns isn't like, oh, God, I wonder if there's more bugs. He's just like, well, that's over.
I'd call the exterminator before you go back to your apartment.
Glad we'll never see them again.
When the exterminator shows up, I'll pop by, put his hat on, get his hat. If you begin it for you. Next time I want to talk to you.
So she's now on the team, and she and a very bored Ed Burns go back to Time Safari, where they come up with the idea to go back in time and stop the previous trip.
I like how it took them this long to come up with that idea, too. Really had a brainstorm to come up with this idea.
They have a time machine. They should have done it immediately.
Yeah. And the theory is we're going to go back, and right when that team starts coming out of the portal, we'll say, hey, no,
don't
JK, go back in. And they're like, okay. That plan is thwarted when this is a real line of dialogue in a movie. Someone goes, another time wave is coming. Hang on.
Things are going to change. The automobile no longer exists.
And a time wave rocks the building.
I like how the time waves apparently temporarily suspend gravity. Everyone's just floating around in slow motion.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that infuriated me about this movie, too, was it was almost like Gravity, have you seen Gravity yet?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, now we can't do this thing here. We have to go over there and do it. And then, oh, now we're here. We have to go over there and do that thing now instead because it's over there now. And
there's a lot
it's
of like
that. It's like they get to the laboratory. It's like, oh, but we need this hard drive that's here. And then they go there. It's like, oh, but we need to be over here instead. And it's like,
it reminds me like kind of video game.
It is. It's like
yeah. video game busy work.
Because you're like, finally, they're there at the time machine. Oh, no, now they have to go to this other building and get
it's almost like a
or they found
of
the guy they're looking for, but no, they have to find the other guy instead.
Sorry, like, Mario, your princess is in right. another castle. You know?
It was just so yeah. frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm like, just do something.
Instead so of then just... they finally come up with just now the idea of like, you know what? We should watch the footage from that time safari that we know something went bad on.
Right.
So they get this. They're watching footage they could never.
Which leads to right. nothing.
Which leads to nothing. Because I'm like.
Like, you see anything? Nope. You? Nope.
Okay. Looks good. Glad we spent 5 minutes. Audience, you see? Nope. Okay. Like, we're good. Why? Why is that a scene?
Which led to, which was eventually the realization of how this all happened, was that there is a mechanism that they put in place that is supposed to, you know, test
but that
how,
wouldn't even.
Yeah, but the biofilter doesn't apply because they already killed the butterfly.
Yeah,
that
wouldn't have done
the
anything. It would have right. prevented that from coming to the future, but.
So it's
they still would have killed the butterfly.
Up in the plot.
Then they wouldn't have known what
well,
went
wrong. Well, let's have to. So Yardley comes out and goes, "Hey guys, I think I solved this. When we came back from that trip, we weighed 1.5 grams more than we did when we left.
Jet grams.
Yeah, 1.5 space grams more than we did when we left. And someone's like, "That's impossible. The biofilter would have caught that." And I'm like, "Well, did they set up this biofilter? Is this a callback?" No, there's no setup
the
to it.
Oh, the biofilter, of course.
The first we've heard
the
of it.
The biofilter would have surely caught that. No, because the evil corporation turned the biofilter off to save money.
To save money.
But the biofilter has nothing to do with them killing the butterfly. And it prevented nothing.
And they did earlier in the movie set up this weird concept of if you take a time safari, they let you keep your time safari suit as a souvenir. Which actually doesn't seems like kind of a stupid souvenir,
well,
frankly.
Because you can't take anything from the past.
Yeah. Well, like, and why you would want your suit, I don't, like, you'd be like, right. hey, look at, see this
space
this
camo?
Suit?
Right.
Yeah.
Cause Halloween costume.
I wore this one time when I saw
a
dinosaur. Sure you did. Sure you did.
I always wondered, like, because
they also
time,
have like the holo discs or whatever they are that show, like, is a recording of everything.
Discs,
so they have
that's
that.
True.
Those discs
yes.
that are conveniently
so
shaped
they,
like balls.
Why would they yeah. need the?
Why would you want the suit? Yeah, right. I mean, and it turns into just like Brian said, like video game logic, like momentarily with these suits.
I went on a future safari, and all I got was this stupid T-shirt.
Yeah, and then so now the Sonya comes up with a different plan because the time waves have somehow racked the equipment, even though they still have electricity and everything. She's like, "Well, we can't go back like we were. I might be able to slingshot one person back."
Yeah, they have to go back like 64 million and 1 years and then be slingshotted ahead of here.
Yeah.
Why not just go? Here's an idea. Why not just go back 2 minutes before they arrive?
Because of the time waves, they can't get through the time waves. They can jump over the time waves to 1 year earlier.
Yeah, right? But then they can jump over the time waves to 5 minutes.
No, apparently
earlier.
Not.
Whenever there's a problem in the, whenever there's a challenge in the movie, the real obstacle is time waves.
Yeah.
Like,
can't do it. Why? Time waves. What?
Yeah.
Time waves. Sorry.
Time waves. Yeah.
I was so scared that when they were suggesting to send Edward Burns back a year before, I was like, oh my God, is the second half of this movie just going to be him like waiting around for
it's
going
to be After Earth all over again.
Yeah.
It's going to be After Earth all over again.
Yeah. It's going to be a mixture of After Earth.
Everything
and,
in the environment
and
is designed to kill you.
Second, like, yeah. Is that like the Stephen King book where he.
Take goes, a knee, Edward Burns!
Where a guy goes back to stop the assassination of JFK.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The time
oh, yeah,
portal.
I've seen that movie.
What
movie is
it?
It's
not a movie. It's just a Stephen King book.
They are making
a movie. They made a movie. I saw
but
it.
He goes back
it wasn't
to,
very good.
He goes back, but the portal only takes him back to like one specific date. It's like 4 years earlier or something. So he has to go back and then wait 4 years to the assassination of JFK. And that's where I thought this was going to be.
That,
going
that,
back and
that
like,
sounds like how Stephen King yeah. would handle that.
I saw a movie yeah. once where a guy had to do that. He tried to.
But it was a good book, though.
He prevents the assassination and screws up the future.
Oh.
There was a movie about that.
Probably a better movie than this one.
Yeah, but probably not as good as the Stephen King story.
So it's still cool with their plan, though, because all the phones are working. Even though it is total chaos outside of the Time Safari building. Like, straight up, like, the Last of Us level, like, chaos is going on.
Have they gotten to the scene yet where he goes back into the Old West?
No, that's way later on.
No, that's coming up. That's coming up.
Yeah. That's at the... Or was it? I can't remember what it is.
Because he has two more jump
right, he
backs,
tries to jump. That's so. Right. That's yes. right.
He for some jump. Reason, they jump. He jumps to the Old West.
That's right. So he does... That's right.
Oh, you're
I
right.
I feel like
you're
that's
right.
already
yes.
happened.
No, you're right.
He
yeah,
jumps,
that has
he,
come,
that's
yeah.
when they discover they can't get past the time waves because they jump back. Yeah. He jumps back to where he thinks he's
where
going.
Where there's like there's Native Americans like
and he doesn't realize he doesn't realize he's in the Old West until the Indians jump over him. Like as soon as it opens up, he sees in the desert, not in the jungle.
Also, the horses are going, and he just like... gets on the ground.
Yeah.
And the horses, like, basically trample him, but he's okay.
And also, he probably totally changed things in that.
Yeah,
too. Imagine
he?
A bunch of Native
Americans.
Did he
kill a scorpion
like,
or something?
Hey, what the heck was that?
They don't even react to him.
Yeah. And, yeah, you're right. And Ed Burns also, even though they're right on top of him, seems totally, like... Until
it was totally the
about
Back to the Future
3
scene, too.
Yeah.
When it was.
Yeah.
I don't exactly. think that's what they teach you when, like, a herd of horses is coming at you. You're not supposed to get on the ground.
Yeah.
That's, like, the opposite
underneath
of what
them.
You want
to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess at this point, it's like, what else
and
can
what if
screw
one
up,
of those
so.
Indians ran through the portal and came to modern time?
Now, that would have been interesting.
Oh, again, a much
that would have
more
all gotten
interesting
reset,
movie.
Though.
Yeah.
Things would have reset again, and different time waves would be coming through.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's when they come back and come up with this slingshot.
Yep.
Thing, Slingshot. But they can't do it yet because they have to get.
They have to get another item from another.
Well,
level.
First they have to find out what's wrong. They
well,
have to
they,
find
it's
the
a
guy.
Level up before they try that.
Yeah, they need. Well, two things. They have to do two video game tasks. One is they have to take the hard drive from their computer right. and like put it connect it to like in a very like Grand Theft Auto mission. Like we have to bring that hard drive here, and at the same time, there's like also we need to find out what went wrong. Although it never really, I'm trying to think.
I don't even know.
Well, it did. It was important for them to know what happened, so that when he went
he
back,
I guess that's true.
He
I
knew
guess it,
what
it,
to prevent.
It does. Yeah, it does go. So they say, like, all right, we have to track down these clients, who have their suits, and so then it becomes this whole goofy, like movie of them going through this futuristic city. As
getting attacked by monkey dinosaurs.
Yep, getting attacked as it would be getting attacked by monkey dinosaurs while they try to get their
clients. I will say the
building.
Design was kind of interesting.
Oh God, no!
I thought they looked kind of cool.
It was so dumb.
I don't know.
It was a dumb concept that they were there in the first place, but I thought
the
creature
was
design was kind of cool.
That was terrible.
Well, there's a bunch of weird stuff like Yardley gets attacked by a plant at one point.
Yeah. Yes, he does. He steps on a vine and it pricks him with some kind of venom that makes him numb, and then he pulls like an Aliens where he stays behind and he starts shooting at the giant apes.
Well, that's and that will go,
very boringly shoots at.
Very
him.
Boring.
He shoots for a couple
though.
Times and he starts and, like hallucinating.
And can I say something else right now? Ed Burns has the time to stand there and watch his friend get overwhelmed while holding a gun.
Yeah, and not say well because there's a line where Yardley's like, "Hey, I'm not gonna make it," and Ed Burns like. Yep. All right.
I thought he was
going to
shoot.
Watch this go down.
I thought he was going to shoot Yardley, like just as the dinosaurs were going to tear him apart. Like he would put him out just so instead of just watching him get eaten, torn apart by 100 freaking dinosaurs.
And then Yardley then is like also furthers this concept. Yardley's like, "Hey, Ed Burns, go back to the past, and you can save me by fixing the past." To which point I'm like, I don't. Okay, like you. Are there time waves? Like, I'm still trying to figure this out. Like, are there good time waves that will happen if that? Like, I'm like, whatever.
We just reset
okay.
everything, which doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense.
Oh,
I'm just
kidding.
Also,
does everyone in this movie have unlimited ammo cheat? Speaking of like video games,
I think
yes.
so.
They
yeah.
just they never have to reload.
Right. No. Nope.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're shooting ice, but
still, there'd be some.
Right. There'd be a
some
shortage somewhere.
There, yeah.
And then Ed Burns also says, in his Ed Burns like bored way, like. If we fix the timeline, we won't know any of this happened. So if you break it, you know what happened, but
right,
not
exactly.
if you fix it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what another yeah. thing that
okay.
drove me crazy about
yeah,
this
yeah, that's
movie.
Convenient.
Sure,
that's
sure,
convenient.
That's convenient. Works. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I'm freaking dumb.
And they show up at the first client's building, and I just loved this little bit of like screenwriting. They show up at the client's building, and they've turned it already into like a very Last of Us like survivor camp, like with like a gate, and like they're all like you know lit by torches and like
birthday
and they,
cakes.
And they lit by birthday cakes, and they don't want to let Ed Burns and his team in, and so Ed Burns is like, "Look, either you let us in or you kill us." And the guy's like, "Well, geez, all right, I guess."
Well, given the choice between the two.
I guess, well, we'll let you in. To which point, immediately Ed Burns says, "Hey, look, we just need to find someone, then we'll go." shouldn't you have started with that advice? Like, well, also, shouldn't that have been your like introductory line? Like, hey, don't worry, folks. We don't need to stay. We just need to find someone. Right. You know?
Also, the way Edward Burns delivered the line, like, it's not like he said that and then like he had five like commandos behind him pointing guns at everyone and like, oh yeah, this is a threat. Like, it's Edward Burns rolling up with like two women,
yeah,
and like a doctor who is like badly injured by one of the ape dinosaurs.
Yeah.
He's just saying, like, yeah, you're going to have to let us in or kill us.
Yeah.
Like, or I could just leave not you right here and walk away.
Walk away.
There's a third option in this scenario.
Yeah.
He probably thought that after he shut the gate behind him. He's like, oh.
Actually, there's any number of things I could do in this
situation. I thought it was funny if they would leave and then Edward Burns comes back. Fertilizer?
Fertilizer.
Oh, come on in. We were expecting you.
We then meet, so now the nervous client, they find him in the building, who might be the only person we've seen that's more insecure since Electro in Spider-Man 2. It's like, yeah. You guys think I stepped on something. Well, I didn't.
Just because I was scared doesn't mean I stepped off the path.
I didn't do anything. To which point Ed Burns is like, all right, well, good to see you. You
must look have been great. The other guy.
Yeah, all right. We'll be moving on.
Good luck with this whole post-apocalypse thing.
Yeah, if you get a chance, fill out this survey. And
good luck as a fishman when the next time wave hits in about 37 minutes.
Yeah. So, sorry we followed up with you, weirdo. Thing.
So then they have to go find his friend, the other guy.
In a future car. They're driving around in...
I think there was this one car, because they showed this taxi an awful lot in this movie. Yeah. I think that was the only prop they had.
Also, what's funny about that scene, because the one scared guy says, oh, there's a garage.
Parking garage?
But then the doctor, like, hotwires the car to start.
Yeah.
And everyone's surprised that the doctor knows how to do it. He's like, oh, how do you think I put myself through medical school?
Yeah, that was a weird, like...
Cars?
Yeah. That's how you put yourself through. How did you put... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not like a common thing.
Yeah. And so now they go to find the... so they drive around in this, like, future car. And the dog... This is where the doctor gets killed because a gorilla dinosaur, like, rips
like
him
bat,
out.
Big bat.
A giant bat.
Which also my question was before. We've already... At the scene where they get the hard drive, right? And the government agent is hiding in the cabinet.
Oh, no, actually, we haven't gotten to that part.
We've not gotten to that.
No, we haven't gotten to that yet.
Okay.
They find the other guy and they realize that he had stepped on the butterfly. They find on the bottom of his shoes.
Here's my question. Okay, they find this other client. Why is this other client insane?
I think
because he's
ill. He's contracted something.
Well, what, his
he was
wife
wearing the, he
left,
was wearing the
him.
Suit.
What I don't think he it was. Wearing... I don't think it was back in time. I think it was like maybe he got pricked by a plant or something. Because there's another guy who was crazy too in the building.
Plant.
Who was like, because the two people were like laying dead on the floor. The guy with the super crazy like mustache and hair. He was like dead on the floor. And,
and
they said, they must have been driven crazy by something. Killed each other. Like there was some toxin in the air or like the plant.
Okay.
Like the atmosphere is changing or something.
Yeah, he was like delirious.
A happening style like plant craziness. Okay, because I was like, he stepped on something. Like, why would stepping on something? Okay.
So they find him and he shoots himself because he's crazy. And then they just go through his closet and like, hey, I found his clothes.
Hey, look, here's his boots. We probably should have noticed when we gave him his boots that there is a giant butterfly on the bottom.
It's like over his entire sole.
It's like glued to the bottom of the shoe.
It is
it's like bright pink.
A foot long. How did we not see this? So
then they go back to the laboratory where I think this is where they discover, because another time wave comes through and it's like now the laboratory is like flooded.
Yeah.
And there's like a bunch of gorilla, dinosaur, bat things hanging from the ceiling.
What I didn't get was they already introduced the flying bats that took the doctor from the car.
Yeah.
Why? With the choice between gorilla dinosaurs and bats. Why do you have the gorilla dinosaurs being the ones that are sleeping upside down on the ceiling?
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah. I expect you'll wake them up, and then it does the reveal shot, and I laughed out loud. I was like, "It's the apes!"
What are you talking about?
And they don't have wings. They didn't evolve in the next time wave. I thought new threats, new wave, new threats. Nope, the apes stayed the same. Yet they sleep upside down like bats.
That was just
that'd goofy. Be like in Jaws. When, like, they're on the boat, they're like, oh, what is it? And then, like, up jumps like a big snake from the ocean. It's like, oh.
That's not what I expected at all.
Yeah.
Thought it could have been a shark, but whatever.
All right, yeah. Seemed to be building up to something else. We now just get out of nowhere just a weird subway car. Like, this is classic Hollywood, just like set piece work.
Yeah, they need to go through a subway system to get to
and
the,
get attacked by the giant eel.
To the next checkpoint.
Level 5.
The deep rising eel attacks them.
I did not understand the construction of this scene.
Yeah, for some reason the subway tunnel starts flooding, but the subway car is
not
airtight.
It's airtight.
Watertight, so no water gets in.
Ed Burns is like...
Well, they come up with this plan, and they spend like a minute talking about this plan, which doesn't matter, because before they can enact the plan, which is him just shooting out a window and then swimming, the giant eel thing crashes the window and grabs his... whatever she is to him.
Yeah.
Semi-daughter, quasi-daughter.
Sister, lover.
Grabs her and eats her, whatever. And the whole thing floods, and then the other woman, the scientist, the Rand, swims out of the thing, and before he can swim out, the eel grabs him.
And Ed Burns is like fighting with a...
underwater
fish
that's trying to eat him, but then it gets crushed by the subway car.
Is that what happened?
No, the ceiling starts falling.
The car cuts its head off, right? Because its head floats up at the end.
Yeah, I think
the
stuff ceiling
starts falling from the ceiling, which causes the subway car to fall on the eel, and then it dies.
And then its head floats up, like it decapitated. Well,
there's a hilarious moment of Ed Burns like pops up, and it's like, and then all of a sudden this giant fish head pops up behind him, and was like, ah! And they're like, oh no, it's dead.
It's a false scare.
But it's so goofy.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I love it too, because when he comes up, he's unconscious, and she like performs like the worst CPR
ever.
She
basically makes out with him, and he coughs up water.
Yeah, she blows in his mouth once, and they're like still floating in the water. He's like, oh, and he's fine.
I don't think you can deliver CPR while like floating in the water.
I don't think
that's...
it works.
Yeah, there's
like
no
that.
Chest compression or anything.
Yeah. And so now that set piece is handled, they're off to the university where there's a particle accelerator that they can plug their hard drive into.
This will allow them to go back in time.
Why in the world we're seeing, why would any of this work? Like it's post-apocalyptic, well post-apocalyptic, and everything seems to be working fine.
Yeah.
Even the computer, like the hard drive, when they plug it in, the computer's like, we certainly are somewhere different, you know, and they're like, can it, you know.
Yeah, Tammy comes back.
Yeah.
Yay, our computer character.
And the university seems to have time travel capabilities as well, although that's not really set up.
Basically, wherever you plug Tammy in.
It's like Wi-Fi.
Plug it into a toaster.
Yep,
that's
what you need.
Yeah.
So... she sends him back just before the time wave comes through and turns her into a fish.
You use a jump drive.
Why, again, if this... Sorry. Why wouldn't he have turned into a fish?
He got out right before.
I think they're saying that...
But the time wave goes through everywhere.
Well, he went...
Was he jumping over the time wave at this point?
Not
until
I try to defend this, but
he's surfing the time wave.
He got sent back before the axe, so technically he was okay.
They used the super... They needed, like, twice as much energy to propel him past the time waves to the moment before the time waves generated. So now he's okay. As long as you're far enough back in time before the waves, you're okay.
I mean, the answer...
But you need enough power.
As again, the answer to all questions are time waves. I really wanted at some point for us to have that Die Another Day or Escape from L.A. moment of Ed Burns surfing the time wave.
So
on a bag of fertilizer.
So he gets sent back, and then immediately slingshots. What was that?
Sorry, I was just saying real quick. Very rarely have I watched one of our movies and known for sure when it has happened. Like, that is going to be one of the screenshots of the movie. But she looks over and she's the fish person. I'm like, yep. That's going up there.
That's going to be one.
So he gets slingshot back a year ahead to where the expedition team, the safari team.
During the flashlight distraction sequence.
They're already fighting the dinosaur. And he just runs up to the girl, his quasi-daughter girl, and he's like, hey, I'm here, and tell me when I get back that something happened.
Give me the holodisc, but don't give anyone else the holodisc. And remember, turn on the I gotta go. And then runs down the trail, tackles the crazy client who is about to step off the trail. That client's like, what the? Ed Burns is like, look, don't worry about it.
Just go back.
Yeah, look, it's, and then he runs back. and he goes back into his time portal, seemingly never interacting with the other Ed Burns, right, who was there.
He was playing with a flashlight.
I thought at one point, I could have been wrong, I didn't really care enough to watch it back, but I thought at one point the other Ed Burns actually saw Ed Burns.
See, that would have been a better movie, that would have been an issue. Like, yeah, they would have made that an issue. Yeah. But
it would have made more sense for him just to tell himself. There's too much chaos. They're all wearing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, hey, me, I'm here. Clearly, this is something weird going on.
Yeah.
There's no biofilter.
Right.
Yeah. Don't go back in time anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's me. Look, if I'm talking to me, right, it's got to be serious. Like, right. Also, stop that dude.
Yeah. So they go back to the future.
Yes.
And everything's fine.
And the girl he tells is like completely cool with what she just heard. Because right after he tells her that, she goes to the government official. She's like, I know what's going on. I'm like, oh, really?
Well, because they go back to the future, and the Ed Burns we see doesn't remember any of this, but the girl who's his creepy daughter / kind of into him, like whatever, comes up and she's like, hey, you asked me to give you this holodisc, and he's like, I did? What? And she's like, yeah, and you should look at it. And he's like, I should, and she's like, yeah. I mean, like, it's like the most nonsense conversation. She's not like, hey,
right,
there are two of you on this freaking disc. What is going on? Like, she's totally like, haha, wink, wink. You know, and it's like, this is the biggest thing ever.
Right. Also, why is this important? Why did they continue the story? He changes the present. Obviously, there's
because
no
they needed to let them know that they shouldn't be messing with the past or else bad things will happen.
Right.
I guess a moral lesson has to be learned.
That they had to shut down the Ben Kingsley company, which we don't really. But you know what's funny is you're right, because we don't really get that emotional moment of like, hey, this place is wrong. It's just more implied of like, well, when people see this disc, well, it's like the Ray Rice tape. Like, when people see it, they'll freak out. Yeah. I mean, we're not actually going to show you people freaking out, but it's all on. We get it, right? I mean, strange choice. And then we do finish. Usually we laugh about movies that start with shots of Earth. We finish with shots of Earth.
Yep. Here's my question that I, as much as the logic of this movie didn't make sense, they kind of established it and they went with it, whatever. But when he the last part when he goes to see the doctor again, she makes reference to like the flowers, and he's like, oh yeah, the white ones, as if he
remembers.
Yeah.
Their I thought that too. Like they're implying that somewhere in their minds they do remember it.
I didn't even think
but they
that.
Didn't do anything
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, she says something about fertilizer. Yeah, you're right.
That's 100% dumb.
Because she says put it by the
perennials.
Perennials or whatever. The white one. Then he goes, the white ones. Like,
and I don't. Does he explain to her? Like, this would be
he shouldn't,
life altering.
He implies that he doesn't remember any of that.
No, because he just said.
Why aren't there waves of corrections? Why did it all happen instantaneously?
He just said, like, oh, watch this disc. He's like, I don't have time to watch discs. And he's like, watch this one. And I
was like, yeah, he really implied that he doesn't know what happened in the future world.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened. Like, how is he suddenly.
This is the laziest time travel movie imaginable.
Like, why put that line in? It was fine. Just don't put that line in.
Just to confuse you one more time.
Yeah. God, that is dumb.
I think the actors just went on autopilot because they were on that set, and the director was just like, yeah, they showed up, so just whatever. They're reading the lines.
I want to... We have a fun So Wrong It's Right question. I do want to mention before I get into that, this movie was originally going to be directed by Rennie Harlan with Pierce Brosnan as the star.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, you may know the answer to my So Wrong It's Right question, because my So Wrong It's Right question is, the company making this movie went bankrupt while they were in post-production, the production company. And the remaining backers, well, I'll put it to you this way. The original post-production budget, according to Wikipedia, was $80 million for post-production. That would be a very high post-production budget.
Just for post, yeah.
That after Franchise Pictures went bankrupt, how much do you think the remaining bankers provided to do post-production? Original post-production budget, $80 million.
And there's no $1 rule, of course.
There is no, again, due to flagrant abuse, the Price is Right $1 rule is outlawed.
I'm going to go with the base, just based on how bad the CGI was, I'm going to go with, I don't even know. 10 million is too high. I'll say 10 million.
All right, Cody's going with 10.
1 million.
Oh, my God. Okay. Jack?
It doesn't look good at all. Okay.
There's no $1 rule, but there's a $1 million.
Yeah, but there's a $1 million rule. I'm going to say. Scale. I honestly think it's like $1 million. That's what I'm going with. $1 million.
Okay. I remember the original was 80.
Well, yeah, but the company went bankrupt. They had to scale back.
Yeah.
I'll go 5 million.
Wow, everybody undershot it. Cody's going to take it. They did come up with 30 million to do the 80 million. But had to do, according to Wikipedia, this put the visual effects department under time and resource constraints, forcing them to use off-the-shelf software that did not require long rendering times. The film's computer graphics ended up being harshly criticized as cheap and unconvincing. They certainly did.
I can't believe they gave them $30 million. That didn't even look like $30 million post-production.
No. Yeah, and that was one of my biggest gripes about the movie was the CGI. If that was good, I mean, the movie would have been like, eh, whatever. But
it could,
of how bad that
it
was.
It could have been a generic like sci-fi movie.
Looked like a Sci-Fi Channel movie.
There's a couple of reviews that I just wanted to do, like the titles of reviews. The CNN review was titled "Sound of Thunder," "Sound of Thunder." Smell of garbage. I got a kick out of that.
That's pretty good.
And another one was A Sound of Thunder, combining a futuristic storyline with prehistoric special effects. I enjoyed those.
Well, the whole point of the title, too, doesn't make any sense in the movie. Like, Sound of Thunder doesn't come into play at all.
It doesn't.
They could have called it Time Wave.
Yeah, why was it called that in the short story?
Because the short story, well, there in the dinosaur was coming out, they say it sounded, you know, it was like the sound of thunder was the dinosaur coming out. Then in the end, when they go back and they realize everything's changed, the Ed Burns character kills the Eccles character who's stepped on the butterfly, and it just says something like the last line of his. You know, he heard like the click of a gun being loaded or whatever, and then there's a sound of thunder because he's shot with the gun. Yeah. Which is just, you know,
but it could also mean the thunder is the coming storm of the change of history, though, right?
Time waves. Well, there's no time waves in Ray Bradbury's
story. Not time waves, but you know what I mean.
But there's no, like, there was no explanation for the title on the movie. Like,
they should have just called it
like
Time Wave.
Like a dinosaur sounds like a sound of thunder or whatever.
Yeah, just to, like, rip off, like,
there was a thunder clap at one point in the movie. Maybe that was why.
Yeah. I thought maybe it would have been cooler to see just a movie about a bunch of people who go on a dinosaur hunt in the past.
It's also when Ed Burns throws that bag of fertilizer on the ground, it's pretty loud. It did sound like thunder.
Yeah, that was the allusion to the name of the movie. Yeah.
So, all right, so is it so bad it's good?
They should have called this Fertilizer 450.
I like that. That should be the title. All right, Jack, is it so bad it's good?
I'm going to say yes, but only because of the special effects.
Because they're so bad.
They get so bad you can laugh at them. If the special effects were good, as Cody said, this movie would just have been like an eh.
Yeah, I agree with that. Cody, what do you think?
If it was 20 minutes shorter, then maybe it would
Yeah, be I'm so with you good. On that. I'm
yeah,
with
it was,
you
it was a little too long.
Yeah,
by the end, it was just like, come on.
Yeah, it really drags at the end. Yeah. Brian, what do you think?
I couldn't watch this again. I mean, it's just one of those classic cases where you're watching it and you look at how much time has elapsed and you're half an hour in, you're like, good Lord.
I think the only
merciful thing was that, like, I saw the runtime on YouTube was like 1:39, but then at like 1:30, the credits started
rolling.
Yeah,
there was
like 9 minutes. Oh, my God, there's 9 minutes of credits.
Yeah.
The only scene I think I would ever really want to watch again is Ed Burns in the fertilizer delivery man outfit.
Yeah, that was pretty classic.
Yeah, God, he is. Ed Burns is sort of like the poor man's Nick Cage. Like, in that his appearance in a movie just makes you go, oh, there might be trouble here.
Well, as bad as the movies are that he's in, I never come away thinking like, oh, Ed Burns sucks. Like,
He does what he can.
He's just surrounded by garbage.
Well, he's also like so not lazy, but like so detached in the movies we see him in. Like he seems like he might fall asleep at any moment during the film. Dinosaurs are attacking them, you know, he's like so bored.
Well, I just wonder too if that's kind of like he knows that he's in these terrible movies, so he's like, I don't want to look like I'm trying too hard.
Right. Well, because Ben Kingsley does, we really even talk about Ben Kingsley's character.
He
does
much.
A good job.
He does try. Like, he actually sort of, gives
something.
He has
a pretty concrete character.
Yeah.
Felt like a Bond villain, too.
Did feel like a Bond villain.
He looked like a Bond villain.
Yeah.
But he really wasn't a villain in the movie. Like he wasn't a good guy, but they didn't really play him to be the villain.
Yeah.
Well, there really was no villains, except for the apes.
Except for that
dinosaurs.
Asshole who stepped on the butterfly.
And then went crazy.
He shot,
an unrelated old man and himself.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mentally traumatizing Ed Burns, probably. Yeah. All right, that brings this one to a close. As always, if you get a chance, this one should have some fun pictures for the Facebook page.
Oh, yes,
I'm looking forward to seeing those.
Yes, sure.
And you can follow us, some of us on Twitter. You can follow Cody at Cody A. Wolf. And you can follow the show at Wind Up Films. Mm-hmm. And you, if you get a chance, if you can give us a review on iTunes, we appreciate it. It helps in the Apple's algorithm for what happens to podcasts or something. I don't know. Math. It helps with the time waves. That's how I'll explain it.
Our self-aware computer tracks all of that stuff.
That's yes. Right. Our sentient computer is very, very meaningful. I think that is it. We will be back soon with more terrible movies. And the one I will give you a preview of, if you like the show and want to watch it, is Theodore Rex is coming up soon, very soon, and be prepared for that with the buddy cop movie with Whoopi Goldberg and a dinosaur. It is a thing of
legend.
Boy,
we're on a dinosaur kick, huh?
I know. And sadly, that movie might be more realistic than this one. Yeah. All right, that does it. We will see you back here next time. Bye.
Toodles. Fertilizer.